Good morning. It's great to be back and to see you again. I was thinking there on my seat, the relationship that we have had with the church has been a while. It started when Pastor Paul was still here. Pastor Paul, I forgot his last name, Rohart. And then, of course, later had two other pastors who came, right? Pastor Glennie went, Peter, Pastor Glennie and I went to Senegal together, spent 5 days there. I almost beat Peter in basketball, but he ended up beating me. And so it has been a while since we have been relating. And praise the Lord for you guys, for what you have meant for us, to us, all these years. My wife is here today, Eliane, is Elaine with the I in the wrong place. Instead of the A first, is the I first, okay? Eliane. So it's great that she has been able to... We speak pork and cheese. You know pork and cheese? Portuguese, because we are born and raised in Brazil. I'm supposed to give an update, right, Nathan? By the way, I really appreciate you guys here. And when I think about you, especially those who are holding the fort, right? Peter, these are the ones that come to my mind that I know a little better because of the time that we spent together in the past. Peter and Nathan have been, as we think of you, again, those who are holding the fort, right? Isn't that true? So praise the Lord for you guys, and that the Lord might continue to strengthen you. And I before the service, I talked a little bit with Peter about his health issues, and I don't know if he would. I hope he doesn't mind that I bring this now, that you guys could be praying for him as well, that he would be able to overcome these challenges and be healthier and be able to serve the Lord better, as of course it is his desire. In terms of an update. On ourselves, Eliane and I have been married for 41 years now, going to be 42 in May, the Lord permitting, by God's grace. That's right. Amen. Amen. And we have three children. The oldest is Kiko. He's 40 years old. And he's married to a lady in Allentown. Well, our children were born in Philadelphia area when I went to seminary. I went to Westminster Theological Seminary. And so they were born there. And Kiko, again, is married to Crystal, and they have seven children. And those of you who are grandparents know what that means. Right? The oldest is 18. And now when he comes home, he doesn't come by himself anymore. He brings his girlfriend. So it's fun. And even the other one, who is the second one, is 15 now. He also doesn't come by himself, although I think he broke with his girlfriend. So he might come by himself again. And then all the others come into two. The youngest is 2 years old. Two, right? Her name is Penelope. So Penelope. And then Fernando, of course, who is in Africa. I'll be talking a little bit about him in Chad. And then Fabi, our daughter, she lives in Chicago. She's married to David. They have a daughter called Mila, who is 4 years old, going to be five in May 28th. She was born on Memorial Day. And so anyway, we praise the Lord for our children. And Fabi, by the way, she's a minister of music at Soul City Church, Chicago. So if you want, you can go home, and 12 o'clock, you can tune in on your computer and watch my daughter singing, our daughter singing. I'm her number one fan. I think number two is Eliane, but anyway, so I praise the Lord for Fabi and in the way the Lord has. As I get older, I melt easier, you know that. So as the Lord has given us our wonderful children, and so it's a great blessing. We praise him for that. And two of them, of course, are in ministry. And Kiko, our oldest, is also in a different kind of ministry. He's a nurse. So he's ministering to people as well in a different way. He and his wife are nurses. And sometimes both are working. And guess what? They call Eliane to go and then help with the kids while they are both working. But Kiko is working more. Anyway, I'm supposed to give an update on myself, Fernando, a little bit, right? And also bring the words. So I have to be careful not to torture you speaking too long here. But as Nathan already mentioned, we work with Fellowship International Mission in the home office in Allentown, Pennsylvania. I've been doing that now for 23 years in the home office. Actually, came to the States for good to stay here in August of 99. So have been working in the area of missionary care, and has been a great privilege, really, to be involved with the lives of our missionaries. Now, you can imagine, missionaries are like you, like me, right? We are missionaries, in a sense. We all. They have difficulties. One missionary died in... I'll bring the bad news first. The missionary died in November with battling cancer in Australia. And this past, I think it was Thursday night, that our director, my colleague who works with me, missionary care, Dean and I, called the wife in Australia. So I had to call at night because it would be morning for her there, right? So we went on, Facebook Messenger when we were able to talk. Because to talk with our missionaries, I have to see what's the best way for them. Sometimes it's Facebook Messenger that we can even see each other on video. And also sometimes it's a WhatsApp. Are you familiar with WhatsApp? WhatsApp is very popular overseas, not as much as in the States, but overseas is the preferred method of missionaries to communicate. Actually, Eliane and I talk with Fernando all the time on WhatsApp. So if you want to talk with Fernando, just get in WhatsApp, and then you can call him and talk with him. Anyway, and then we have another missionary. Actually, this missionary is 90 years old, believe it or not, and is still very active in the ministry, and we praise God for that. He and his wife both have been very active in Mexico. They started churches there and also a camp and a Bible institute that has formed people who are serving the Lord in different parts of the world, even in the States. Am I speaking too fast? Cindy, am I speaking too fast? Sorry. We were talking a little bit that have those who speak here need to be able to articulate and also to speak louder. Right, Cindy? Okay, I remember. Right, Damien? Yep. So I'll do my best. So anyway, Mark Landis is 90 years old, has been a model for me, for us, right, in the office as missionary. 90 years old, still active. And that's, I would say, also is distinctive of FIM. We give flexibility for people to be serving the Lord as long as the Lord gives them good health and strength. Some agencies ask them to retire at 65 or 70. We let them go. So has been a real blessing. But Mark now is battling pancreatic cancer. So it's something that we have to be also following and praying with him and calling to see how they are doing. Others are doing a great job in the ministry, young people with small children in different parts of the world. We are in 28 countries. And so has been part of the ministry is also to go there and see them. Right, and because of the pandemic, we were not able to travel. We actually, my colleague and I, had a trip scheduled to Peru and also Venezuela before things became really bad. We cannot travel anymore, so we had to cancel our flights and try to get money back and things like that. But finally, in December, this past December, Dean, my colleague, and I went to Peru to visit our missionary there, and that was a big blessing. So we are back into the idea of visiting missionaries. I appreciate prayers for planning. Actually, I'm already overdue for this trip to Europe. You might think that is vacation, but it's not vacation. We might have some vacation there, but while we are there. But Eliane and I plan to go. Eliane has been able to go more with me now than before, so I'm looking forward to that trip also. And appreciate your prayers for that. We are planning for possibly in April to go to at least three places in Europe, France, Germany, and Greece as well. So it requires a lot of planning, a lot of, know what I mean? So please remember us regarding that. So that's part of ongoing connection, contact with missionaries. The three main things that we use as a strategy is pray. We pray all the time for our missionaries. We have prayer daily in the office at 9:30 with our leadership team. And then after lunch, also we have prayer again. And then on Wednesdays, we have a longer time of prayer. And once a month, we try to get those who are able to join us online, missionaries around the world, to pray as well. Then we have a prayer retreat. We have one coming up in February, another one coming up in August of this year. Prayer is a big thing. And the second thing is review. My colleague and I, again, who work together on this, we review the list all the time to decide what to do with the missionaries. Then we schedule a time. We call them to see how they are doing and things like that. Got a picture? Review. And then we seek to encourage them, because one thing that the missionaries really need is encouragement. So think about that, okay? And as you pray for them, pray for encouragement. There are more things that we do, but I think this is enough now. You got the picture that we are involved in caring for missionaries, and it has been, as I said, a great privilege. We have to be with our antennas all the time, because anytime something can happen, right, with them, and we have to try to respond to their needs as quick as possible. So remember that in our ministry, and thank you again for being with us, participating. And that's a big thing. I think, again, missionaries, they need encouragement, right? They need to feel that they are not by themselves there, and so we are holding the ropes for them. Now, Fernando, he is in a town called Durbali in Chad. In September, he moved to Chad. Before that, he was in Senegal for 6 months. Eliane and I had the privilege of going there also before he went to Chad, and he spent a few days with him, a whole week. What are we? 2 weeks, right? 2 weeks? Yeah, he rented a place, a nice place, just for us to be with him before he went to Chad. And that was very nice by the ocean there. It was a good time that we had together before he went to Chad. And Chad is a very, very difficult. I think you might remember him. I don't know if he showed some picture when he came here, right? And it's a very poor country. And the place, the city where he is, the house that he is living now, I was going to show pictures here, but decided to, because sometimes when we try to use technology, it takes more time. So, but maybe we can share those with Peter and Nathan, and you can show here. But the house that he's living, which is not too bad, but also is, just for you to have an idea, the bathroom is outside. There's a hole in the ground there. And then the kitchen is outside. And not too long ago, they installed a faucet somewhere that the water runs, but outside of the house as well. No electricity. He has solar-powered stuff that charge batteries that he has that allow him to have a fan going on. And about a couple of months ago, it was very hot. And so when the sun heats, especially the wall there, that heat remains for the whole night. In the beginning, when he moved to Chad, He was in a tent outside, sleeping outside because it was too hot to sleep inside the house. But he's happy. He's happy there. We praise God for that. Last week, the team, because he's not by himself, there's a team that are learning the language. He's there learning Arabic now, Chadian Arabic, to move to the permanent place that they intend to move this team, because missionaries go to different parts of Chad, to the city called Massakori. And then that's going to be possibly in August or July. And then prayer request also that he would be able to find a suitable housing for him and also for the folks of the team. And there is where this, what they call K group, lives. So he's learning Arabic now because they speak Arabic. And then later he has to learn the language of the K group as well. So it's a lot of a lot of learning to do besides learning the language and the culture. So we call him periodically, and as Eliane and I just called him as we were driving here yesterday, and we're able to see him and talk with him on WhatsApp, and that's really fun that we can do that, isn't it? Can you imagine that? They're in the middle of nowhere, Cell phone is powerful, very powerful tool to communicate. They can have WhatsApp and then even charge the phones with the solar-powered batteries recharged. Anyway, so it's a big blessing to be able to communicate with him. They are 6 hours ahead, so now is what, 4:15 there, right? 4:15 in Chad. And so, yeah, praise God, he's happy there. And one day I was going to share this. He had his phone on his pocket because people don't like if you are filming them or taking pictures, they don't like it. So he put the phone in the pocket and he was going to town to get some beef. That day he was not buying camel meat. Sometimes I ask him, what is the menu for today? He said, camel meat. Have you eaten camel meat? So go to Chad and visit Fernando, then you can eat camel meat. But that day was a beef. He just found the local market there, a butcher, right there, open air. So they cut, and then he has a grill right there too. So after cutting, he grills the meat for you, he takes home and eats. So it's fun. So he had the phone in his pocket, so he was giving me a tour as he was walking to town, and that was really nice to see. So I got the picture, got the idea. Did I speak too much on this? If you have any questions, you can ask again later. Nathan, I like to speak too much, and I'm from Brazil, as I said before. And I have been here before, I know that, but what time should I stop? That's an important question. Oh, that's a dangerous thing. Really? Okay, I'll do my best. That means what, 25 minutes or so, something like that? I cannot see from here, I don't have my glasses on. So, when we come to a place like I'm here today, by the way, I want to really commend you for your involvement in missions. And I am serious when I say that, because when we compare you even with mega churches, you do a lot in your involvement in missions, financially and also in prayer. Because many churches are so focused on themselves. You know what I mean? So I want to commend you for that. And keep it up. Keep praying for missionaries. Keep contributing to them as well. And also thank you again for your participation in our own ministry as well. Appreciate that very much. Now, again, when we are invited to speak, okay, what to speak on, right? That's a big question. And I'm here today. I feel like family because you are family to us. You're very significant in our lives. Always when I send my updates, I always say, and I hope that people don't mind because I keep repeating all the time when I write it down, for the most significant role you play in our lives and ministry. So we praise you praise the Lord for you and your participation. So it's family for me. So I feel very, very comfortable speaking to you today. I want to speak from my heart, okay? And then you might say, oh, because this guy is involved in missions, he should be talking about missionary work. In a sense, I will, but not as much. I'll be talking about you and about me and the Bible, okay? So, by the way, Eliane doesn't like my jokes, but she has endured for 41 years, so I think she's going to endure a little longer. My colleague, Dean Ressler, we work together, as I said, and he teaches Sunday school in our church. And he was teaching a book of the Bible, Habakkuk. Now, how we say Habakkuk in Portuguese? Does anybody here say? No? You know? And when I asked my colleague, I asked him, do people remember what you said? No, they only remember the name of the book in Portuguese. And you might remember also that is Habakkuki. Habakkuki. He found it so funny, Habakkuki. Habakkuki is the book Habakkuk in Portuguese, Habakkuki. So if you want to think about Habakkuki, like the word cookie, and Abba, Father. Maybe it doesn't really make too much sense, but I'm bringing here to you today Abba cookies. Might be a good beginning of the year gift, hopefully, depending on what I say here, right? Okay, so have your Bible. You know what it is? Abba cookie. It's hard to find because it only has three chapters in the Old Testament. Abba cookie, even for me to find, I have to leave my, this thing here, because it's after Nahum or Nahum in Portuguese. Now, Habakkuk, have you read Habakkuk? Have you read Habakkuk? Do you know what is there? So, of course, you won't be able to read the three chapters because it's a lot, but I want to call your attention to some things here in this book that are very important, especially I want to bring to you three things that you should keep ongoing because of what's going on here. Did you find Habakkuk? Habakkuk? After Nahum? Right before what? What comes before? Zephaniah? All these guys are kind of difficult to find, right? Before Haggai, close to the end of the Old Testament. Habakkuk. Did you find it? So I would suggest you to read this book with more calmness when you are home. Only three chapters, again. I think it's a great book because it has a great, great message. And even the Apostle Paul picked up one verse and used three times, or if we think of him as possibly the author of the book of Hebrews as well. He used a verse in Romans, in Galatians, and in Hebrews, one verse of this book. And also the Apostle Paul picked up another verse and used in the book of Acts, also chapter 13. I'll call your attention to that when the time comes here. But what's happening in the book of Habakkuk? Think the context. The context is a context of perplexity. Habakkuk is perplexed because of what's going on. Now, when you think about what is going on in our world, in different areas, think about the wickedness around us. Right? All the ideologies around and the agendas of the wicked trying to infiltrate schools and start teaching our children about stuff. It's perplexing, isn't it? Now, think about politics. Now, again, we are from Brazil, right? And sometimes I like to watch Brazilian news, the politics of Brazil. I don't know if you have seen here. The media doesn't show that. Have you seen anything that's going on in Brazil these days? We had elections in October. Eliana and I went to New York City to vote twice because we have the first round, the second round. So we went to New York City twice to vote. Elections in October, November, and then elections. But the people did not accept the result. The whole election process was kind of weird. So I have again the leftists and the right, and when we think about this, what happened in Brazil still happening is perplexing because people are getting arrested without due legal process the way they should be. A lot of arbitrary stuff going on. Brazil is not a democracy as it used to be, although some people say that it is. it's perplexing to see what's going on also in politics. And I think in the States, pretty much the same thing, right? It's perplexing. And Habakkuk was perplexed with what was going on. Well, it says in the book, the beginning, chapter 1, an oracle, or could even be seen as a burden that Habakkuk, the prophet, received from the Lord. So he received this word regarding what was going to happen with the people of Judah because God was going to judge the people. Why? Because of their wicked ways. They were worshiping idols, offering child in sacrifice to demons, all kinds of stuff that they should not be doing. And if you read the book of Jeremiah also was talking about that, another prophet says, well, there was a judgment coming in. The Babylonians were going to come in and take over. Now, he describes the Babylonians here. So Habakkuk, and at that time, a lot of violence going on. And Habakkuk is saying, how long, O Lord, must I call for help? That's verse 2. But you do not listen or cry out to you. Violence, but you do not save. Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is a strife and conflict. And conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. And when we look at what's going on, when I look at what's going on in Brazil, that's what I see there as well in many, many ways. So it's perplexing. It's perplexing. And Habakkuk is perplexed. Is there anything that's causing you perplexity today? You don't have, of course, to respond to me. Just think about it. What is perplexing to you that causes you to come to the Lord and say, Lord, how long? How long? Sometimes a situation that has been persisting for a while, right? How long? How long? You don't listen to me. It's interesting that because you say, how long, oh Lord? Have you thought about that? When I think about this word, Lord, and today Peter was praying. And by the way, the songs today, they're very good songs for me. Sometimes we sing songs, but we don't really think of what we're singing, right? So it's very good. I think you chose them, right, Nathan? Very good. Good, very good choice. The second song, for instance, if you read those words carefully, it's really great words. All of the songs, but especially that one, hit me a little more. And also, when Peter was praying, he mentioned the steadfast love of the Lord. The steadfast love of the Lord. And this is the person that Habakkuk is approaching, the Lord. Now, I haven't thought about that. I think, again, we don't stop to think about this. We take for granted. But the word Lord in the book here, I think it's all capitalized, isn't it? Lord. Lord capitalized is all, it means Jehovah. How long Jehovah or Yahweh? Yahweh. Very important. Very important. Because when we approach the Lord, by the way, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, it is without faith, it is impossible to please God. For it is necessary that those who approach him earnestly and believe that he will reward those who approach him that way, earnestly. So, when we come to the Lord, and I usually use the words that Jesus, right, Father, because he's our Father, right? Through Jesus, we are adopted into his family. He's Lord. And here, when Habakkuk is talking, how long, O Lord? He's talking to Jehovah. Now, again, I think we should not take that for granted, but because our view of the Lord, who the Lord is going to permeate everything else. Who is the Lord for you? Who is Jehovah for you? And how he revealed himself in the Bible. Now, do you remember when Moses, for instance, God called him and gave him the mission to take the people to the promised land? He said, Lord, I cannot go unless you go with me. Show me your glory. Show me your glory. This is Exodus chapter 33, I believe, verse 18. Show me your glory. And how does the Lord answer that prayer? Next chapter, chapter 34, verse 5, says that the angel passed in front of Moses, proclaiming the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord. Think about that. The name of Jehovah. And it says, the Lord, Jehovah, Jehovah. In the NIV says, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. As Peter mentioned in his prayer, the word is hesed in Hebrew, steadfast love and faithfulness. When you read the book of Psalms, and I suggest you to do that as well, I put it on my phone. My phone has YouVersion. Do you have YouVersion? And I go to the office, and I put there sometimes, I put there the YouVersion, sometimes, almost every day, the book of Psalms. And it's amazing how, and the version that I use, the ESV, that describes this word, hesed, that's steadfast love of the Lord. The Lord is rich, rich in steadfast love and faithfulness. But not only that, he's compassionate. Amen? He is gracious. Amen? Slow to anger and rich in steadfast love and faithfulness. In chapter 34 of Exodus says, but he won't leave the guilty unpunished. He's going to punish the guilty one. That's why he was punishing the people of Israel, because they were guilty of worshiping other idols. But again, that permeates everything, because when Habakkuk approaches the Lord, Yahweh, well, who is he? He's the maker of heaven and earth. That's great to think about as well. The book of Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 5. Have these guys, it's almost like an indoor soccer team coming. Of course, it's not that, but just in terms of size. Five guys come and say to the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, you made the heavens, even the highest heavens, and all their starry host, the earth and all that is in it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you. That's a great prayer for us to remember and also say to the Lord, you are the maker of heaven and earth. So talking about the maker of heaven and earth, who is eternal, and guess what? All these tyrannical rulers, they go away. They die, right? But the Lord remains forever. We will die. I don't know how long I still have on this earth, as my clock is ticking faster and faster every day. But the Lord will remain forever. And those the words of that second song especially, it's really very powerful. Maybe you should read to them again sometime later. Because it talks about living with him forever. That's our hope. Amen? Living with the maker of heaven and earth forever, where there will be no more perplexities at all, but just joy. And chapter 16, the book of Psalm 16 talks about, in your presence, there is delight forevermore. So anyway, that's a very important truth, because Habakkuk was perplexed, because you who are so pure of eyes, what is that? That's in, I don't have too much time here to go through these verses. You who are so pure of eyes, how can you, what verse is that? You who are so pure of eyes, how can you stand all this wickedness? Doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense. Because what was happening is that God decided to use the Babylonians, who were much more wicked than the people of Israel. They were conquering everybody and ruling, dominating, and all kinds of bad stuff that they were doing to the people. How can you do this? It didn't make sense to Habakkuk. You who are so pure of eyes, how can you stand that? And then he says, again, I have to jump here, but I'll suggest you to read this book, right? Actually, it's chapter 1, verse 13. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you so silent while the wicked swallow up those who are more righteous than themselves? So that's perplexing, isn't it? But what is the answer of the Lord? Habakkuk went to, he said, I'm going to go to my watchtower and wait what the Lord's going to say. Before I go there, let me go back a little bit. The chapter 2, verse 20, it says, "The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him." The Lord is in his temple. And what comes to my mind when I think about that, do you remember Isaiah chapter 6? Isaiah chapter 6 has a great vision that Isaiah had. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robes filled the temple. Above him were seraphs with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two wings they covered their feet, and the two wings they fly and say to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory.'" Isn't that great to think about that? The Lord is in his holy temple. So, be quiet before him, because he's doing something we cannot understand. But he's working. Amen? He's working. He rules over all. We sang about that also in one of our singing songs today. And then chapter 3, verse 16, when Habakkuk refers back to the works of the Lord, he said, "I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones, and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patient for the day of calamity to come on the nation invite us." What I'm using this verse here now is for the first thing that we should do in our perplexity, which I haven't said yet. The first thing that you should have, that you should do in your perplexity, and me too, because I'm thinking about you, I'm thinking about me, as we get perplexed about stuff. Is stand in awe before the Lord. Stand in awe before the Lord. I don't think that we stop enough to have that kind of posture before the Lord, recognizing who he is, his holiness, and his majesty. What is he doing? He's doing something great. By the way, talking about something great, in the book of Acts, chapter 1 of Habakkuk, verse 5 says, "Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I'm going to do something your days that you will not believe, even if you were told. I'm raising the Babylonians to judge." But as I mentioned before, the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 13, he picks up that verse from Habakkuk. And look what he says in Acts chapter 13. "Are you following me?" Because I'm kind of going here and back and forth to some texts. But in Acts chapter 13, verses 26 to 41, it's a long passage here. But Paul is saying to the folks, the Jews, who invited them to speak. And remember that they were sent by the church as missionaries not too long before. And he said, brothers, children of Abraham, and you God-fearing Gentiles, it is to us that this message of salvation has been sent. The people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus, yet in condemning him, they fulfilled the words of the prophets that are read every Sabbath. Though they found no proper ground for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him executed. When they had carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the tree and laid him on a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. And for many days he was seen by those who had traveled with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now his witnesses to our people," talking about to the Jews. "We tell you the good news that God promised our fathers. He has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus. As it is written in the second psalm, 'You are my son, today I have become your father.' And the fact that God raised him from the dead, never to decay, is stated in these words, I will give you the holy and sure blessings promised to David. So it is stated somewhere with, elsewhere, which is in Psalm 16. You will not let the Holy One see decay. For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep, he was buried with his fathers, and his body decayed. But the one whom God raised from the dead did not see decay. Therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is justified from everything you could not be justified from by the law of Moses. Take care that what the prophets had said does not happen to you. And then he says, look, you scoffers, wander and perish, for I'm going to do something in your days that you will never believe, even if someone told you. Who said that? Habakkuk said that many years before. So, when Jesus came, God was doing something unique. And think about it. That thou, my God, should die for me. We sing about that today. Isn't that amazing to think about? It's almost unbelievable, isn't it? Almost unbelievable that God would do something like this for a sinner such as you and me. Just for you to see again that Habakkuk was quoted by the Apostle Paul here in the book of Acts. So the first thing is stand in awe. And my time is running so fast. But when Habakkuk, he prays to the Lord how long, and then God answers him in the sense of saying, I'm raising something that the Babylonians, something unique that you won't believe in if it happens, if people tell you. And then Habakkuk, okay, I'll go to my watchtower and wait for the answer of the Lord. What's going to tell me? And that's the second thing we should do in our perplexities. Wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. Because the word that the Lord gave back to him was, look, write this somewhere that everybody might be able to see it. And that's a great statement. It's a great statement the Apostle Paul again used in the book of Acts, in the book of Romans, the book of Galatians, the book of Hebrews. The author of Hebrews used that. The statement is this, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, which says, see, he is puffed up. The Babylonians puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous what? The righteous will live by his faith. The righteous shall live by faith. And brothers and sisters, this is what we need to do all the time, isn't it? First thing, all the time we should stand in awe of the Lord. In other words, fear of the Lord. Experience more in our own lives what it means to fear him, to live for him, to be obedient to him, regardless. And the second thing is wait upon him. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says the young people grow weary and get tired too fast. But those who wait upon the Lord, what? Renew their strength. Amen? And how they renew their strength? In him. He's the one who strengthens. Who renews your strength? Who renews my strength? The Lord. Amen? So, and this wait doesn't mean to just stay there. There's a very active wait. How do we wait upon him? Doing his work. Yes, that's part of it, right? But another thing that I think is very important as we wait upon him is to get this book and read it. Get this book and read it. I know that today we use a phone more than the physical, right? But listen to it all the time. That the word might be in your... Because that's what encourages us. That's what strengthens us is the word of God, amen? The second thing is prayer. And the Apostle Paul said, pray when? Without ceasing. Pray all the time. You don't have to get up to pray. You still can be in your bed. We are awake. Pray. Amen? Pray. Sometimes as I get older, I wake up at night and I'm listening to the Bible on my phone and also praying. Take those moments of waking up at night and pray to the Lord. And prayer means what? Doesn't mean only to be asking him for things, but praising him, acknowledging who he is, saying those words that Nehemiah said, you made the heavens, you are compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Pray. Amen? So it's an active prayer. It's not a passive prayer at all. It's a very active reading the scriptures. Because when we read the Bible, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, right? That strengthens our faith in him. That's what we need. So I think the whole message of Habakkuk could be in one sentence. Trust in the Lord, no matter what. Trust in the Lord, no matter what. Amen? No matter what. You're perplexed. What's going on? I don't know. I don't understand. What's going on? Could be even in terms of my own health. I don't understand what's going on, or the violence around, or politics. But the Lord is doing something. And that's what the Lord said. I'm doing something you won't believe if I tell you. And he will gonna remain. I'm gonna die, but he's gonna remain. And these people who did stuff in the past, they all died. Except our Lord. Amen. So, and for me, before Nathan comes and puts me out of here, I know he won't do that, but I need to stop. The third thing that Habakkuk says here, I think this is a great book. There are several woes here that I just didn't have time to touch on them. But in chapter 3, you have Habakkuk's prayer. And then in the end, and also I remember that Peter mentioned that in his prayer as well, because I was paying attention. Right in the end of his prayer, he mentions this in a different word. He said, this is what Habakkuk says. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, though I am in prison here, as the Apostle Paul was in prison, and with his back possibly slashed by the beating that he had received, all kinds of bad stuff happened. What? He says, yet I will what? I will what? Rejoice. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God, in God my Savior. The Lord, Sovereign Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. So, the third thing is rejoice in the Lord. And the Apostle Paul said, and he wrote that from prison. He was in prison in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord. When? Always. That's a tough one, isn't it? Rejoice in the Lord always. Psalm 4:7. The psalmist says, you have placed more joy in my heart than the joy that they have when their grain and fields abound. Think about that. They might have all kinds of stuff that I don't, but you have put more joy in my heart than they have. So it doesn't depend on having stuff, right? It depends on our relationship with him. Amen? Relationship with him. So I think we do need to do some work on that. And I think as we start this new year, we're still in the beginning, right? Today is what? Today is 15. So still in the beginning. So I think we can still make some good resolutions here to be closer to the Lord. Amen? And to spend more time reading his word, because faith comes by hearing. And hearing his word going to strengthen our knowledge of who he is, who he really is. When we talk about the Lord, by the way, it's a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen? Got to know him better. So three things in our perplexities. Remember those three things? First one, stand in awe of him always. Second thing, I forgot already. Well, wait upon him. Wait on the Lord. And third thing, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. This is all in the book of Abba Cookie. So these are the cookies for you today to take home. Three cookies Three cookies, amen? First one is, stand in awe of him, always. Second thing, wait upon the Lord. Active wait. Third thing, rejoice in the Lord. Amen? No matter what. What did you say? No, I think it's good. I think it's good what you said. Say again. Oh, wait and rejoice. Yeah. Gonna remember that? Gonna come back. Said, have three cookies from Abba Cookie. Remember those three cookies? Well, thank you very much for listening. But these things have been very important to me. And there are different verses that we could use to exemplify better what we're talking about. But I think these three are three good things that comes from Habakkuk that we need to remember and put into practice every day in our lives. Amen? Trust in the Lord no matter what. So let's pray. Father, we want to worship you once again together and recognize that only you are Lord, that you are our Maker and our Savior and the one who sustains us. And we come with gratitude for your word, which is living and effective, that encourages us, the word that restores our souls. So we thank you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that guides us in your truth, reminds us of the things that we need to confess to you as well, who helps us in our needs, encourages us, and for the fellowship that we can enjoy with you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as we together contemplate you and as we reflect in your word, we ask you that these three things that you showed to Habakkuk might be reality in our lives today, in the days to come, and forever, really, that we would be always in awe of you, who you are, and what you are doing, and what you have done in the world in the past, and what you will do in the future as you have promised as well. The whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. And thank you for the fact that you have decided to use us as well for this. And even as you think of Fernando, spreading your glory there in Chad and other missionaries as well. So we thank you for this great privilege, all being accomplished by Jesus as dying on the cross and being resurrected by you. So we thank you. Thank you for this great privilege. Help us, Father, to truly apply this word, to wait upon you every day, to rejoice in you continually. Thank you, Father, for the joy that you place in our hearts every day by your Holy Spirit. Encourage us today and the days to come, and use us for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much. Thank you for your patience.